great to be here after so long, and it's a blessing to share this fabulous holy day with all of us together. It's truly a gift from God to share this together with you. This day, the Feast of Trumpets, as we're told in Leviticus, is a day, the first day of the seventh month. It's a day when God told the Israelites that they should have a Sabbath rest and a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a reminder, a tribute reminding them to remember something, to remember things and lessons for the past, as well as remembering what God's plans for the future is. A holy gathering or a holy convocation. And as the book of Numbers tells us, we understand that God told Moses to have him hammer, made two silver trumpets, hammered of silver, to be used for several purposes, right? To use them to gather the congregation, as we'll see in a little bit. The two silver trumpets, when they were blown together, meant the whole congregation was to assemble. When just one of them was blown, just the leaders of the congregation met there at the door of the tabernacle. As well, the trumpets were used for sounding the alarm when the Israelites were to set out or to move or when they were being attacked. And God told them, sound the trumpets of alarm if your enemies are attacking you. And the purpose for that was that God would look on that and remember them and save them from their enemies. This was one of the lessons of the trumpets and the use of them. And as David reminds us that we are blessed, those who know the joyful sound, who are blessed to hear that joyful sound of the trumpets, and they walk in the light of God's countenance. I have a dear friend, Harold, that when he went through an operation, he came out of the anesthesia, and he said, well, when I woke up and I didn't hear the trumpets, I knew I was still a human being. He was waking up and listening then. And there are many lessons that we can review with respect to this memorial, this day of reminder, this day of remembering, a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, lessons of the past, as well as lessons of the future and grace. That's the title of my message. Memorial, a reminder of past lessons and future grace. And we can be reminded that, as Jesus said, what's going on now will be just like it was in the days of Noah, right? We can remember what he said, what he told his disciples, as recorded in Matthew 24. This is how he said the Son of Man, the return, my return, will be. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, right? Think about what it would be like to be 600 years old and have God come and speak with you and say, tell him the story of what happened and embark on that whole scenario by telling Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. This is after God said it grieved him that he had created man on the earth, because he said his thoughts are nothing but evil constantly. This is a reminder for us to recognize that things have not changed. Under man's rule and governance, under the rule of the God of this age, nothing has changed. I don't need to tell you that. The earth was filled with violence. That's what God said. And he said, I will destroy them. Because of that, I'll destroy them. And the earth, I'll destroy them with the earth. So he told Noah to go into the ark. And he said, because I've seen that you are righteous before me in your generation. It's almost as if he was saying, you're the only one in this generation that I found to be worth saving. There was only one righteous man, and he was 600 years old at the time that the flood came on the earth. It happened in the 600th year of his life that the windows of heaven were open and God carried out the plan that he promised. And after he was in the ark with all of those animals, because of the violence that was on the earth, God allowed them to be saved, along with all the animals that he caused to be in the ark to come and gather. And it makes me almost wonder if there were trumpets that helped the animals gather at the time, though it's not mentioned that way. But God remembered Noah. He remembered Noah, stuck in that wooden box floating on the water for 150 days or so, when the fountains of the deep were broken up, and finally the rain stopped and the water receded after 150 days. It's interesting that God allowed the ark to come to rest after all flesh that breathed the breath of life was gone. The ark came to rest. On what day? The third day of the Feast of Tabernacles. In the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month. I believe that has meaning for us. And Noah is even spoken of in the chapter we know as the faith chapter, where Paul was telling them that by faith Noah was, he was warned divinely. God warned him divinely, spoke with him directly. And he, being moved with fear, he was reverent to God because he walked with God. God allowed that he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, and he became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Notice what Paul called his faith. It allowed him to become an heir of righteousness. Not righteousness that comes from ourselves, but God is the one who gives us and imputes that righteousness to us by virtue of our faith in him living in us. Right? Isaiah chapter 35, verse 4. Isaiah 35, verse 4 says, God saying through Isaiah, to those who are fearful hearted, is anybody out there fearful hearted these days? Sometimes we can't help it. And we need to cast our anxiety on him, as Peter says, right? But God says in Isaiah 35, tell those who are fearful hearted to be strong and don't be afraid. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Your God will come with vengeance. That's one of the memorials we are here today to be reminded of. He will come with a recompense. His reward will be with him. Recompense of God, and he will what? He will come and save you. That's a memorial that we're here to remember today. Not only the lessons of why he did that to the whole earth in the past, but why he will have to do it in a different way. It's amazing that we have a God that never does, even though he never changes, he never does something in the same way twice. He does it differently. Even though he says, I change not, yet he said, he promised, with a rainbow as a sign, as a memorial to us. He promised, I'm not going to do this ever again this way, by flooding the whole earth with water. And we're here to remember as a memorial the day, this day as a day of the Lord, a day of judgment. Yet Amos tells us this is a day of darkness. And we can read about it in Joel and Amos both as well. Even Paul himself mentioned in Acts 17:31, he said, God has appointed a day. And here we are memorializing these lessons of the past and what he has revealed to us he will do. He will come and save, and he will judge those who are contrary to his way of thinking. God has appointed a day, Acts 17:31, on which he will judge the world in righteousness by who? The man, Jesus, whom he has ordained. He has given us assurance of this. He's given us a guarantee that this will happen to all by raising him from the dead. The fact that Jesus Christ is raised from the dead is our guarantee. That's another thing that we memorialize on this day. As Jesus said again in Matthew 24, see, I told you this beforehand. People might say, look, he's in the desert. Don't go out there. He's in the inner room. Don't believe it. Jesus said, as lightning comes from the east to the west, that's what the Son of Man's return will be like. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. After the tribulation, after the sun and moon and stars are darkened and fall and the powers of the heavens are shaken, and the sign of the Son of Man's return, one of the things we memorialize on this day, that sign will appear in heaven, and we know it to be a loud trumpet of God. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn, because they will all see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. And he'll send his angels with a great shout and the sound of a trumpet, Matthew 24:31. And they'll gather together. See, this is like what Moses was told, use the trumpets, blow both hammered silver trumpets to gather the whole congregation together. Jesus himself said, they will gather together his elect from the four corners of the winds, from one end of the earth to the other. He will gather them using this great sound of the trumpet. As Paul told those in Thessalonica, that God himself will descend from heaven with a shout. The voice of an archangel, that's who's going to shout. And with the trumpet of God, the same trumpet that was there at Mount Sinai when the people couldn't stand to hear it because it was getting louder and louder and louder. We're here to memorialize these lessons from the past and the grace that he has planned for our future. Because he says, with this trumpet of God and the dead in Christ will rise first. Yes. Our Lord, our Redeemer, the one who's bought us back with the life of his Son, who did his Father's will so that we could be with him, in his mercy, he tells us in Isaiah 54, God says, look at his compassion here. Even though he's told Israel, you are so rebellious, I'm going to divorce you and allow all this evil to come upon you as punishment. Yet he says, this is like the waters of Noah to me. Isaiah 54, verse 9. as I've sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I've sworn that I would not be angry with you or rebuke you. There is the grace and compassion and forgiveness of our Father because of his Son's life that he gave. And Paul told us, as we memorialize these things, he gave us some great advice as he finished off his letter to the Corinthians in the second letter that he wrote to them in the last few verses. He said, "Farewell, brethren. Be complete. As you memorialize these days, these lessons of the past, and the grace that I have planned for your future, be complete." He told us to do four things. Be complete, be of good comfort. Fear not, like Jesus said. Be of one mind. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Four things. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. He told the Thessalonians, as we memorialize these lessons of the past, we can think about what these promises are recorded for us, the grace that he has planned for us in the future. In chapter 5, verse 9 of Thessalonians, God did not appoint us to wrath. Our appointment is with salvation. Did he not, as Paul told the Ephesians, did he not give us the helmet of salvation? He says our appointment is not with wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll finish with what Peter mentioned when he was telling them in the first chapter of his first letter, verse 13, 1 Peter 1:13, he said, "Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober." Here we are, soberly reminded of the memorial that we can learn from the lessons of all of life being blotted out from this earth in the days of Noah and what he dealt with, and how God said, "I will have compassion and not do this again." Yet, because of the evil, he's forced to judge the world when he returns. But Peter said, "Be sober and think of the grace, the appointment that you have with salvation. Think of resting in your hope. Rest your hope," he said in verse 13, "fully on the grace that is to be brought to you." Hope, the New American Standard Translation says, fix your hope. Not just resting your hope, like an anchor rests on the bottom of the sea. Rest your hope, but fix your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's one of the two major things we want to focus on this day of memorial, of blowing of trumpets, fixing our eyes on the grace that God has revealed to us that he plans to execute and bring about when Christ returns. So this is a day of remembering past lessons and the future grace that God has provided for us. Two of the many reasons God appointed us this day as a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a memorial of congregating, a memorial of alarm, a memorial of paying attention to what God has to say and what he has planned. Not just for alarm and warning, but hope, deliverance, joy, and salvation.